You are listening to a divine service.
Or a lecture.
Or a sermon.
Or a performance.
Or a podcast.
Or something else.
From St. Vladimir Orthodox Church.
Join us soon in person.
Just Google St. Vladimir Ann Arbor.
On our website, you will find our full schedule of services.
And a lot more.
Find us on Facebook.
Or on Vkontakte. Yeah.
Or follow us on Twitter.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
But most importantly,
please know that you are always welcome at St. Vladimir's.
Enjoy this audio presentation of St. Vladimir's Church, and please join us in person soon. The Path.
Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the path that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat.
Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the path which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
The Path is a weekly audio podcast that will provide news and information about activities at St. Vladimir's, highlights from Divine Services, interviews with parishioners and visitors to St. Vladimir's, as well as Ask the Priest, questions and answers, and occasional commentary on relevant contemporary topics. Remember, send your questions to info@stvladimiraami.org. The name The Path was chosen to remind us that the path we choose in this life determines the path that leads to the next life, to paradise or destruction. A path is something that is rarely trod alone. We hope this will be a reminder to us all that we perish alone, but we are saved together. In other words, strengthening and supporting the parish family helps each and every one of us towards salvation. Transfiguration in Christ is a path we travel along together. It is our hope that this podcast facilitates that travel towards the heavenly kingdom for our parish family and those yet to join us. Welcome to The Path. Let us begin this edition of The Path with our weekly announcements. We congratulate all our parish family and friends with today's Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord. Please note that the Dormition Fast began on August 14th and continues through August 28th in preparation for the Feast of the Dormition of the Mother of God. Please note that there will be no divine services at St. Vladimir's for vigil or divine liturgy for the Feast of the Dormition. Rather, as is our usual practice, we will join our sister parish, Dormition Cathedral in Ferndale, Michigan, for the feast day services there, which will be led by His Grace, Bishop Peter. Services and activities for this week at St. Vladimir's are Wednesday, 6 p.m., weekly Akathist for the ill, Saturday, 4 p.m., reader's training, preparation for vigil, Saturday, 5 p.m., confession, Saturday, 6 p.m., vigil, Sunday, 10 a.m., divine liturgy. Thank you to all who worked hard to make it possible to hold the services at St. Vladimir's while I and my family were away on vacation. This time we spend on vacation every year is very important to our family, and knowing that everything is going to be taken care of at St. Vladimir's allows me to relax and enjoy this important time. St. Vladimir's has become a construction site. Excavation work on our new driveway, parking lots, and pole barn has begun, and there are lots of heavy equipment and construction materials in our fields. Construction materials and heavy equipment are huge temptations for the little ones. They would love to climb on it, play in it, and generally do all sorts of unsafe things with it. That is not their fault. They are children. But the adults, parents especially, but all adults in the parish need to keep an eye on the kids and make sure that they stay away from these potentially dangerous things. Please have a talk with your kids before you come to St. Vladimir's next and make it clear that they are to stay away. But adults, whether it is your child or not, please step in if a child is in a dangerous place. Thank you all for seeing to it that phase one of our project is positive and safe for all. Parking for the next two Sundays, or more, we will let you know, will be on the big back grass lot. As mentioned, the construction of our new drive and parking is well underway. Part of the work that has to be done requires that the gravel lot be dug up. That, of course, means no parking there. If you want to drop someone off at the church, the asphalt drive will be open, and there will be a handicapped parking and drop-off access there, but no parking on the gravel lot at all. The kind folks at Daily Rain have agreed to let us access our grass lot through their driveway, two drives west of ours, at 10,000 Jackson Road. Please be extra careful as you drive on the grass lot, but please park only on the grass, not on the gravel lot, for at least the next 2 weeks. We are streaming our divine services live over the internet. Please check the schedule of services on our homepage and then join us online to listen live. The link to the live stream is on the right side of the homepage with the other parish links. If you have technical problems, please email info@stvladimiraami.org and we will help you as best we can to solve those problems. Please remember to volunteer early and often for our festival. Sign-up information is on our homepage. And please remember the reason for our festival. This is a missionary effort to bring those outside the church to the church and a great opportunity to build the bonds within our parish family by working together to accomplish something significant for God's glory. We need participants from St. Vladimir's for the Labor Day Cross Procession, the Walk of Life. Registration is open, and registration information has been sent via our weekly email, and it is on our homepage as well. More than 20 people have already registered from throughout the diocese. Don't wait. Register today. Participation is limited, so do not wait. We also need volunteers from St. Vladimir's to help with the Labor Day Cross Procession. We need medical staff, folks to help cook the food, folks to drive the chase vehicles, and much more. Please contact Subdeacon Methodius Chwastik to volunteer. See Methodius this Sunday. This is happening. Please help us make our parish shine by volunteering today. You can only make a first impression once. That is why it is so important, and the responsibility of each and every one of us, to warmly welcome visitors to our parish. Is the visitor not acting appropriately? Assure them that all will be fine and help them lovingly. Is the visitor's child fussy? Assure them that we welcome children in the church and not to worry. If they ask for a place to go to quiet the child, please point out the nursery. Do not push them out the door. Does the visitor have questions? Answer them if possible, and if not, refer them to someone who can. A smile and a welcoming word can make the difference in someone's spiritual life, both in this life and the next. Please show love one to another so that people will know that we are Christ's disciples. We want to be known for our warm hospitality, as was Abraham, but we all must work together to make our parish as welcoming as we possibly can. We have been using the same bilingual handouts for Divine Liturgy for some years now. This is perfectly okay on some level, but it is probably time for us to rework these a bit. If you like graphic design and you feel strongly about reaching out to those new to our parish, this may be the volunteer opportunity for you. Please contact me if you would like to help. Your contributions will be most welcome. We are pleased to announce our marriage and family retreat this year will take place the weekend of October 24th and 25th. We are also pleased to announce that with the blessing of Bishop Peter, Archpriest David Moser will lead this retreat. Father David has been a priest and a family counselor for many years, and his insights from both his spiritual and secular work will benefit all our St. Vladimir's families. Please reserve the dates now for this retreat. Worried about how to deal with your kids at the retreat? Don't worry. We will provide babysitting for free. Please plan to join us. More information will be coming soon, but for now, please save the dates of October 24th and 25th. As summer wanes, missionaries from various religions continue to appear at our homes. At St. Vladimir's, we have many pamphlets and booklets on the Orthodox faith that are free for anyone to take. These can be found at the back of the church near the main entrance doors. Please feel free to take information home with you to share with the missionaries that come to visit you. It seems only fair that if they want us to take their information, that we offer them information about Orthodox Christianity in return. Many missionaries have found the Orthodox Church in this way. No one is mandated to do this, but if you would like to, you are welcome to. Please feel free to contact me with questions in this regard. Summer is a time when many people go on vacation, and often we are seeking something to read while we are on vacation. Why not help yourself spiritually and pick up a book from the kiosk or check one out from our parish library? We have wonderful resources for you. Please take advantage of these for your own spiritual growth. Please remember all our parish ill in your prayers. You can find a list of the sick, suffering, traveling, those seeking work, and the newly reposed on our homepage. This list is published every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. and sent out in our Monday email. The fall is shaping up to be quite busy at St. Vladimir's. For that reason, we are going to move the way to after Nativity. This will give us a bit more time to get this all together, advertise broadly, and make this a wonderful offering that is positive for our parish and for those who will join us from without. But we still need your help. The Way is an introduction to Orthodox Christianity for those interested, and a great opportunity for those of us who are already Orthodox to learn more about our faith. People will be needed to help prepare meals, lead discussion groups at the Monday sessions, and help with logistics. First and foremost, we need a leader, someone to oversee the whole thing and organize the volunteers. This will be a great opportunity for our parish to introduce many new people to our Orthodox faith, if we do it right. And with God's help and our hard work, we will do it right. Please contact me if you can help, and especially if you are willing to be the leader. Please join us as we run the way. Please alert me to those who are sick or suffering, or with other spiritual needs. I am happy to bring Holy Communion to the ill, bless homes, and to otherwise support our parish family in their time of need. But I can only act if you share the need with me. Do not hesitate. I am here to help. Please reach out today. Connect with our parish on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Vkontakte, our Sound of the Parish blog, and via our website. All these efforts are undertaken on your behalf. Please utilize them and share them with friends so they too can learn about our parish family. Thus ends the announcements for the 11th week after Pentecost, 2015. May the merciful Lord grant all a blessed and spiritually profitable summer. Today on the path, we're pleased to be joined by Angelina Knoll. Angelina is one of our young parishioners who is getting ready to go to college, and she was chosen by Bishop Peter to attend an International Orthodox Christian Charities youth event in Minneapolis earlier this month. And we wanted to invite her on the path to tell us about that and some of the ideas that she has, having gone to that conference and interacted with young Orthodox people from all over the country. So Angelina, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about the conference and what you learned there and what excited you there.
So the leadership conference that I went to, the theme was service. So that was a big, that was pretty much what we did every day. So we did a lot of fun things. We also did a lot of good things for the community.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did actual things there for the community?
Yes. Like,
uh-huh.
So we did a lot with like homeless shelters.
So tell us about that a little bit. You worked with homeless shelters there. What did you do?
So on one of the first days we were there, we went to a homeless shelter to clean the mats. Well, everybody was split into different groups, so everybody did something different.
Uh-huh, right.
So
right.
Some people cleaned the kitchen, cleaned out the refrigerator, like throughout all the old things.
Mm-hmm.
And so my job was to clean the mats, which were fun to deal with.
What was that? Like that's the things that they slept on?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
So we went to the Salvation Army like emergency shelter. So there's only a couple floors that are reserved for like people that stay there long term, but mostly it's just like a one night kind of a thing.
Uh-huh. So it's for like crisis when people are in
a
crisis.
Exactly. So homeless people come there like when they don't really have anywhere else to go and they just like want somewhere to sleep and to eat.
Got it.
So we were cleaning their mats, and it was a very humbling experience, and it was kind of gross because we had to like clean like pee and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it was a good feeling afterwards because, you know, we knew that night somebody would sleep on a clean bed and didn't have to sleep in something gross.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice.
Good.
Yeah. Another thing we did was on one of the last days we went to Habitat for Humanity site,
mm-hmm.
where we helped build a house.
Oh, awesome.
It was really fun.
So what did you do there? What was your job?
So I did insulating for a while, but that was hard.
With fiberglass insulation?
Yeah.
So you had like goggles on and a mask?
Not goggles, just mask.
Just a mask, uh-huh.
So that was interesting. And then we also built the roof that day, so I did that. That was really
fun. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you were up on top of the roof?
Yeah, we were putting plywood like onto the rooftop because there wasn't any yet. It was fun.
That's great.
Yeah. And then one of my favorite events actually that we did was we went to another homeless shelter in Minneapolis. It was in the basement of some sort of a Christian church. I think it was Protestant or Lutheran,
mm-hmm.
or something. And so we just came and we served dinner. And the people that were amazing, like, so we got to sit and eat with them as well.
Oh, great. That's good. So you didn't just...
Right.
That's really good.
Because, like, in the other things, we didn't really get to interact with the people that we were really serving. which was okay because they're you know, in difficult times in their lives, and they probably, like, they didn't seem too happy. But at this shelter, like, they were just, like,
so really, it was a shelter. It wasn't just a place where you got food. It was a place, right, where people stayed also.
Yeah. I think they have like a lottery for it, and so you can only stay there 28 days, so 4 weeks.
I see.
And they serve breakfast, sometimes lunch and dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So there we served them lunch and dinner, and we heard some, like, amazing stories from these people. Like,
I'm sure.
Just, it was amazing. Like, this one woman I met, she was honestly one of the most happy people that I've ever met in my
really?
Entire life.
Even though she was homeless, she was happy?
She had nothing, but she was just, like, so full of joy, and she, like, found God while she was in hard times, and mm-hmm. so since then she's been, you know, getting so much better, and it was just amazing talking to her. It was just, like, a great experience. I can't put into words how joyful it was.
That's neat. And all 60-something of you were working together at the same time?
Yes. But, so, there were 60 of us, no, 40 of us originally.
Mm-hmm.
But then the people that were at the conference the year before, they left on Tuesday morning.
I see.
Because they wanted to have, like, the 26 people that were left, they wanted them to have, like, their own experience.
I see.
With everything, because it wouldn't be fair if, like, those people got to do it all.
So it was by that time, it was a smaller group, like 25, 26 people.
26, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun times.
Great. So it was about leadership in service to others.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the leadership part.
So I think, there wasn't a ton of, like, leadership things. We did get a lot of interesting lectures.
Uh-huh.
One of them that stuck out to me is from Father Anthony of the St. Mary's Greek Orthodox Church in Minneapolis.
Uh-huh.
He's one for, like, one-liners, and so my favorite one that he, like, told us was, we don't just go to church, we are the church wherever we go. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of, like, it was a repeating theme throughout mm-hmm. the conference, I feel like, because we were going out and, like, helping people, and we weren't just, like, you know, going through motions. We're, like, living out service.
Right, right, yeah, outside of the church, taking it outside.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. That's really interesting. I mean, that's actually the main reason why we're doing this
right.
pilgrimage at the beginning of September. The same idea is to right. try to bring the faith out to people. But you did it by serving people, and that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So when we briefly talked, but I'll let people know who are listening, I purposely didn't ask you any questions today, and you probably thought it was really weird, because I wanted to save it for the recording so that it would be fresh and real.
Right.
So when we briefly talked, we were texting about this afterwards,
mm-hmm.
And you said that you had some ideas about some things that we might be able to do.
Yes.
I'd really love to hear what those ideas are.
So one of my favorite things from the conference was getting to meet so many, like, other Orthodox Christians that were my age, and mm-hmm. it was really just amazing, because, like, with my school friends, I don't, you know, really connect with them on, like, a spiritual level.
Right.
Like, with these people, like, I only knew them for a week, but I know we're going to talk for, like, the rest of our lives. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's really nice to know that there are other people out there.
It's so important, actually. I hate to interrupt you, but it's so important. And I hope that the parents who are listening will understand how important it is to have their kids go to conferences
right.
and any other way interact with their Orthodox peers. It
yeah.
just makes such a difference.
Yeah, and it was just cool because, I mean, I've, like, met some Greek Orthodox people because there's you know, a lot in this area. Cause,
right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
of St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church. But I didn't even know what Antiochian was until I went to the conference.
No, that's great.
And, you know, we learned a lot about each other's cultures as well, because there was a lot of, like, Greek dancing and, like, Arabic dancing
oh,
going
neat.
On every day. And just going into the different churches there, like, Greek church, and we went to a Greek church and an OCA church. And it was just, like, cool seeing, like, how our services are so similar but, like, a little bit different at the
uh-huh.
same time. And we actually went to this one church that was an OCA church. I can't remember the name of it, but it's, like, the only Orthodox church in the U.S. that has stained glass icons.
Oh, interesting.
It was
oh, interesting.
Beautiful. Like, it was awesome. Like, awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, actually, Minneapolis is important, and our listeners might not know this, that the first Orthodox seminary was attached to St. Mary's Cathedral there. The first Orthodox seminary
yeah.
in America, yeah,
mm-hmm.
was attached to St. Mary's Cathedral, and the cathedral is still working, and it's still a really active OCA parish.
Yeah.
Good. So tell us about some of your ideas, besides the importance of meeting your peers, which I totally, right. I totally agree with. But tell us some of your ideas about what we can do here.
Big idea is really getting youth groups to like go out and serve people, because I think, you know, living in Michigan and whatnot, a lot of younger kids, you know, they're like, they grow up, you know, in nice families, they always have like food and stuff, and I think they don't, you know, get to see like homeless people as often because they don't live in like a big city area, so they don't
experience
that as much.
You live in Saline, I live in Saline.
Right.
We live in kind of a fantasy world.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has a good job.
Yeah.
Everybody has a nice house. Everybody has two cars. It's like we don't think, nobody thinks about hunger. Like, where's my next meal coming from? You know, we're just going to go to Costco and, you know, buy way too much food. And we know that we're going to be okay.
Right.
I think that's really interesting that you say that. And I thought you might say it, so I purposely didn't tell you this. We are going to start working with Focus Detroit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, beginning this year. Our youth groups are going to be working with Focus Detroit, probably mostly the teen group.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that the like 9 to 12-year-olds could do,
right.
But there are other things that they might not be quite there
ready,
yet.
Yeah.
But I think for the teenagers, it's so important to engage them in their faith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a radical way, like to feed people who are hungry and mm-hmm. to clothe people who, you know, are destitute.
Mm-hmm.
And so John Hill is gonna take over the that part of the youth group this year, and I'm really excited about it because he's also very, very much wants to do this.
Right.
And I was talking with one of your peers actually, who's also going to college from our parish, just a couple of weeks ago, and he's really excited about this too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk with you more about that afterwards. Of course, we have our activity where we work at the homeless shelter here, and I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's also good for Alpha House is still in Ann Arbor. I mean, it's still kind of in the fantasy world.
Right.
It's like this beautiful, clean shelter. And of course, yes, the people are struggling, and I don't mean to belittle that.
Right.
But I think that it's still kind of the fantasy world that we live in. Whereas if we are going down to Cass Corridor or somewhere else in Detroit where people are really struggling, where they're really living on the streets, I think that, at least from my point of view, that's going to impact our youth a lot more. What do you think about that? It sounds like you had that experience there.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. I honestly can't put into words how much I enjoyed it and how much I learned and how much I honestly grew as a person, just, like, getting to experience all these things and help these people. And I always, like, obviously, I got a lot out of it, but, like, it wasn't about me. It was about these people.
Right.
And so, obviously, like, I guess it's a little selfish to say, like, oh, you know, this experience is so nice, you know, for mm-hmm. me. I grew so much. But it was really about these people and helping them and in their time of need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I a couple of years ago at St. Herman's Conference, we were in Rockford, Illinois, and we worked at the shelter there. What did they call it? I can't remember. It's like an inner city mission.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crisis place. So people are in a very bad situation when they come there. And that was so motivating for the young people. I mean, they were just on fire afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought that back with them. And that's part of the reason that we're reaching out to Focus Detroit now. For those who don't know, that's an Orthodox group which unites all the Orthodox churches, Antiochian, Russian, Greek, everybody, Orthodox Church in America, and works together on these kind of outreach programs
mm-hmm.
to the poor and to the suffering and so on and so forth. And when we did that in Rockford, the young people came back and they were just so on fire for that. And so we really hope that that's gonna help because, well, for me, what I see with more than 20 years now working with young people, it seems to me that young people need to live their faith. How do you feel about that? Like, I say that all the time, but I'm not a young person anymore. I have a gray beard
right.
and everything. But it seems to me that young people, like teenagers, they their faith can't just be in their head. It needs to be in their hands, and they need to be
right.
doing something. What do you think about that?
I agree with that because, like, out of sight, out of mind, I guess. Like, if you're not living it, then I feel like you don't really feel it, and it's easy to get caught up in, like, worldly things.
Right.
Especially
first world problems, like, you know, my Wi-Fi is weak, or, yeah,
right.
I mean, but isn't it true?
It is very true, and, like, obviously, growing up as, like, the generation of technology, It's easy to get caught up with things that should not be your priority in life.
Right. Yeah, I think when you go to, you know, give clothes to people who are destitute, or visit people in prison, or feed people who are hungry, and you come home and your Wi-Fi doesn't work, I think it has a different feeling. Like,
right.
It's just not that big of a deal. And but you know, for us, it's like, oh my gosh, like my Wi-Fi is not working.
What am I gonna do?
Exactly. So that's good. It's good to hear it from you, because, like I said, I say that all the time, and I really think it's true. But it's really good to hear it from you. Mm-hmm. So as we wrap this up, I guess I would ask you, what is some, like, you're getting ready to go to college and you're getting ready to start a different phase of your life, and that's exciting, and I think that that's important. I also think that that's an important time of spiritual life,
right.
Because a lot of really people, what we see is that they, even though most decisions about whether you're going to really be a faithful person or not are made in high school, mm-hmm. you have to practice it when you're on your own in college.
Right.
And to me, I think that it's really important that we strengthen our teens so that as they go off to college and we don't have our hands on them,
right.
that they're going to make those decisions that are appropriate to their faith. So I wonder if you could, we're talking a little bit about young people going off to college, now that you've lived through your high school life and you're getting ready to do that, what would you like to tell to the kids who are going into high school now? And as they're preparing for their 4 years that you just finished, you know, what would you like to tell to them as an Orthodox Christian? What can they do to help themselves now that you have that perspective?
I would definitely try to get more involved in things at your church. And definitely service really helped with, I feel like, my spirituality personally. Like seeing people less fortunate than you and such. And
helping them.
Right, and helping them. And just, like, read the Bible.
Right.
Because I feel like when you're alone, like, you have more time to, like, mull it over and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously stay with your prayers. Don't forget to do that. It helps a lot.
Good.
Makes your day go better.
Absolutely. I think that's really good advice, and thank you for that. And I would like to add just that, having been a priest now in a college town for all these years, I do see that this is a very formative time for young people when they go to college. Mm-hmm. And as much as parents can encourage their young people to be active in their faith, I think it really helps them. It's a kind of a springboard into life after school. And we try to provide those opportunities here, but other parishes, and especially in college towns, try to also. So I know that you're all set and you're going to be going to Ferndale Cathedral because it's a lot closer to where you're going to live, and I'm very supportive of that. I think that's great. And I hope that all parents who have young people going off to college are helping them to point out, you know, here's a good parish or here's a good parish, mm-hmm. or coming to me and asking me, because I'm more than happy to help with
that. And I'm sure, like, if even the Ferndale one is, like, kind of far off, I'm sure if I could find one that was, you know, like an OCA or like a Greek Orthodox mm-hmm. church, like, the service is mostly in English anyways, and it's still pretty similar to ours.
Right, absolutely. And I think that that's a really important thing, you know. For us in the Russian church, we've completed our reconciliation of the Russian church, and you know, it's good for us, I think, and healthy for us to be willing to be exposed to other Orthodox traditions. Mm-hmm. I think it really strengthens us. And, I mean, to be honest, it's good for our young people to meet young people from other Orthodox traditions.
Right.
I think it's really, really helpful and healthy. So,
mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad you had an opportunity to do
yeah.
that. And I'm really glad you got to join us today on the path. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Path. We ask your prayers that we are able to publish this podcast weekly. We also ask your cooperation. If you are asked to interview for our program, please say yes. If you have ideas for interviews, please share those ideas with us, and please share this program with friends and loved ones. See you soon at St. Vladimir's.
Thank you for listening to this audio production of St. Vladimir Orthodox Church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Please join us in person soon. To learn more about our parish, please visit our website, stva2.org. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, the number 2.org.
See you soon at St. Vladimir's.